Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sustaima third quarter 2015 financial results call on 26th of November 2015. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Sustaima. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intend, will, could, may, or might, the negative of such terms or similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projection or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market changes in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically. I will now hand over the call to Yevgeny Chugov.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome everyone to Sustaima's third quarter 2015 financial results. You can find a presentation of our results today on our website at www.sustaima.ru. I will like to introduce our speakers on the line today. We have Mikhail Shamonin, our President and CEO, and Sevalid Rozenov, our Senior Vice President and CFO. I will now hand over the call to Mikhail for an overview of our results. Mikhail, over to you.
Thank you all for joining us today to discuss Sistema's third quarter and 9 month financial results. Sistema's consolidated revenues demonstrated solid growth of 14.3% year on year, with a healthy OEBDA margin of 28.5%. Notably, our largest contributors to the consolidated growth are also our largest assets by revenues. MTS, thanks to a strong strategy and sound operational management, remains the leader in its industry and is successfully growing a retail network that will support future growth and continued market leadership. Segezha Group increased quarter-on-quarter sales, streamlined the business, and optimized expenses. In the quarter, Segezha's share of Sistema's total revenues reached 5%, making it our fourth largest asset by revenues. RTI, our high-tech asset, also improved its financial performance. Revenues were up 13% year-on-year with a 16% OEBDA margin. In 2015, we expect to receive more than 28 billion rubles of dividends from our subsidiaries MTS, Detsky Mir, Power Grids, and others. This is the level of 2012. It demonstrates our ability to develop cash-generative businesses and create value for shareholders. Over the past few months, we announced a number of important deals that make a significant contribution to our equity story. We bought Kronstadt Group to strengthen our foothold in Russia's high-tech segment. Kronstadt has a strong portfolio of unique products and enormous intellectual capacity. The Russian economy's focus on import substitution is opening new horizons in this segment, and Kronstadt technologies will enable us to fully meet the demands of the Russian state in several segments. A key focus will be capitalizing on synergies between Kronstadt and RTI. As you know, Sistema has extensive expertise in the Russian technology market and has been investing in this industry for more than 20 years. We also increased our shareholding in Mitsi to 100%. This strategic step will enable Sistema to focus on free-for-service customers and develop direct sales to individuals. Today, Mitsi is the only chain of clinics offering a wide range of affordable medical services in Russia. A new clinical diagnostic center in Krasnaya Presnaya neighborhood of Moscow will soon open its doors. The clinical diagnostic center format has proved to be highly successful for Mitsi, with profit margins of the facility in the Belaruskaya neighborhood exceeding 50%. Rolling out new clinical diagnostic centers is a key part of Mitsi's revised strategy, which should double revenues by the end of 2018 and increase profit margins. Детский мир is growing at an annual rate of 25-30%. In the third quarter, it opened a 70,000 square meter warehouse that will enable the company to successfully operate a chain of up to 600 stores and will increase centralization of supplies from 26-80%. We are excited by this business, and we see opportunities for continued growth by expanding in the online segment and increasing economies of scale. Another important event in the quarter was the signing of an agreement with Reliance Communications on merging our telecom assets in India. According to the terms of the agreement, Sistema will get effective ownership of up to 7.5% of Reliance. Reliance Communications will also pay SSTL an earn-out of up to $300 million once Indian telecommunication authorities confirm that SSTL spectrum can be used for building a 4G network without any extra payments. At the same time, prior to closing the deal, SSTL will repay its debts that are fully guaranteed and serviced by Sistema. This will make it possible for Sistema to improve the currency profile of our debt burden by repaying some of our foreign currency liabilities. Moreover, as a result of the deal, Sistema will get a significant stake in India's biggest telecom company with strong prospects for market share development and expansion. Our investment resources today are quite robust. Sistema is one of the largest investors in the Russian economy, and today we are focused on efficiency at our major assets. For example, in just 1 year, we managed to achieve significant results in the pulp and paper sector. Over 9 months of 2015, Segezha Group earned 24.8 billion rubles in revenue, while the group's OIBDA margin was at 21.3%. We aim to expand our operations in the sector and are reviewing various investment opportunities in the industry. We also continue originating deals in the agricultural sector. This week, we concluded a transition to acquire orchards of Kubань, apple producer in the Krasnodar region of Russia. This acquisition, although relatively small in size, is an excellent example of the further expansion of our agricultural business. Orchards of Kubань is a highly profitable farm with over a 70% OIBDA margin and over 50% net income margin forecast for 2015. Though we do not expect sizable effect on our financials from its revenues of around 600 million rubles in 2015, we see great potential in the segment of the agricultural market. Even after changes in the political situation and the ruble devaluation, around 70% of the apples consumed in Russia are imported. We believe we can achieve promising results in this business, supported by growing domestic demand and significant cost advantage compared to imports. As part of our diversification plan in agriculture, we are also assessing other opportunities in farming, such as milk and meat production. Overall, we are actively seeking other investment opportunities across all sectors of our presence and believe we have a healthy pipeline of deals. In parallel, we are engaged on a number of discussions to bring in strategic and financial partners into some of our investments. These monetization opportunities are ongoing, but we hope we may be able to announce some of them before year-end. I will now hand over the call to Sistema's CFO, Всеволод Розанов, who will provide additional detail on our financials.
Thank you, Mikhail. Thank you all for joining us today. As Mikhail mentioned, during the third quarter, our largest portfolio companies continued to grow their operations, which remains the key driver behind Sistema's increase in revenues. I would like to specifically highlight the performance of Detsky Mir and our relatively new pulp and paper asset, Segezha Group. For the quarter, Detsky Mir's revenues increased 30% year-on-year as the company continues to grow its like-for-like sales and open new stores. Segezha became part of the group in the end of the third quarter 2014, so its results for the third quarter last year were not consolidated by the group. However, Segezha's management accounts show that in the third quarter of 2015, its revenues rose 42% year-on-year, while OIBDA increased 213% year-on-year, thanks to both successful transformation of the company's business processes and income from foreign currency denominated export sales. The group's adjusted OIBDA was up both year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter as a result of the consolidation of Segej Group, as well as improved profitability of RTI and other non-public assets, which offset year-on-year decreases at MTS and MTS Bank. Another important factor driving Sistema's profitability was the optimization of costs and improving efficiency across the entire group. Overall, group's SG&A to revenue ratio was down year-on-year to 18.6% from 20.2%. We also demonstrated improved efficiency on the subsidiaries level, with 9 out of our 12 portfolio companies delivering year-on-year decline in the SG&A to revenue ratio. In RTI, the ratio has improved to 9.1% in the reporting quarter from 19.2% in the same quarter last year. Our corporate center level SG&A were down 20% year-on-year and 10% quarter-on-quarter, in line with our commitment to reduce the corporate cost base. Now I would like to discuss our debt and liquidity positions. The group's total debt position increased quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year to 537 billion rubles, partly due to depreciation of Russian ruble, which impacted the ruble equivalent of the foreign currency denominated. The majority of the group loans are denominated in rubles, though the share that share decreased from 62% to 59% quarter-on-quarter. The group is aiming, in the long-term perspective, to decrease the gross debt. Corporate center and some daughter companies, contributors to the gross group's debt, will be focusing next year on the gradual decrease of the total borrowings. Simultaneously, we will be focusing on the gradual decrease of the share of foreign currency denominated debt. The corporate center's debt was 27.4% higher compared to the second quarter and amounted to 88 billion rubles, of which 79% consists of the long-term loans. The debt at the corporate level is largely public, consisting of the euro bonds denominated in the US dollars and ruble denominated bonds. Third quarter, the share of dollar debt was 36% compared to 41% for the same period in 2014. Total liabilities at the corporate level, including Sistema's obligation to purchase SSTL shares on the put option of Rosimущество and contingent liabilities such as guarantees issued with respect to SSTL's debt, as of the end of the reporting quarter amount to 155 billion rubles. The group expects the announced transaction between SSTL and Reliance Communications not to increase this total amount of liabilities at the corporate level. Banks and other institutional investors express quite strong interest to Sistema debt instruments. We consider the recent dynamics on the Russian debt market as positive. Price of the credit risk of qualitative borrowers is shrinking. Based on that, Sistema has started negotiations with current lenders to decrease pricing under some facilities, which are, however, still comfortable for Sistema, even at the existing terms. Our liquidity position at the corporate level in the third quarter of 2015 was strengthened by receiving dividends from subsidiaries, totaling to 20 billion rubles net of tax. As of the end of the reporting quarter, we had a cash position of 47.9 billion rubles, and that is not counting highly liquid financial assets. In October, Sistema placed 10-year exchange-traded bonds with a total par value of 5 billion rubles and a coupon of 12.5% per annum. Earlier this month, we placed 10-year exchange-traded bonds with a total par value of 1.7 billion rubles. It is noteworthy that the coupon for this issue was lower than the key rate of Central Bank and equal to 10.99% per annum. More detailed information on our debt maturity profile, the group's financial results and breakdowns by individual companies is available in the presentation and press release published on our website. I would like to thank you for your attention and hand the call back to Evgeny.
Thank you, Vsevolod. We're now ready to take questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We will now pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. As a further reminder, if you would like to ask a question, just press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our first question from Michael Samueli from DebtWire. Please go ahead.
Hi there, thanks. I was just wondering if I could, if you could say some more things about your upcoming funding needs and or plans. And you mentioned some things regarding the sort of debt scene. And I was just interested if you would be looking to raise debt either through Eurobonds or through local markets in the next 12 months or so.
Thank you. Sorry, everyone, our line was disconnected. Michael, can you repeat the question, please, once more?
Sure, not a problem. I was just wanted to find out about sort of what funding needs and or plans you have coming up over the next 6 months. And you just mentioned that the current debt markets are quite favorable. And I was just curious if you'd be looking to take advantage of that either through Eurobonds or through the local currency markets.
This is Stelot Rosner. Thank you for your question. As I mentioned in the speech, we do not intend to increase the level of our gross debt. In reality, we plan to gradually decrease this over the next year and a half. Indeed, we took already advantage of the current market, especially we issued two ruble bonds. And as our second intention is to significantly decrease the share of dollar-denominated debt, our overall debt portfolio, as majority of our assets are ruble generating, ruble dividends and say ruble profit generating assets, we would like to bring our debt profile close to the currency kind of composition of our revenue stream. So we will definitely watch very closely the ruble bonds market and opportunistically consider opportunities to borrow dollar debt in case need to refinance the existing dollar or partially refinance existing dollar facilities. But at this stage, we are not thinking of the euro bonds or any instruments similar to that.
I see. And just a quick follow-up question. Do you have any debt maturing over the next 6 or 12 months? I mean, US dollar debt.
Nothing of the size to mention. Our euro bonds maturing in 2019, so no, nothing like this.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Alex Kazbegi from Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions probably from me. I mean, one is just on Segirja Group, just to understand maybe broader what are the targets, so to say, there over the next 12 to 24 months. I mean, I've seen that you increase the, let's say, the own production of the timber. Clearly, that reduces your input costs, so the margin is benefiting from that. So how do we see, so to say, this asset developing? Vertical integration, horizontal, more acquisitions, export markets, what's the overall, so to say, if you wish, outlook, and any guidance in terms of how do you see this asset growing over the next, again, 12 to 12 to 24 months? Second question, probably a quick one on the MTS Bank. I mean, there's clearly an understandable, so to say, negative trend, but I was just wondering if that company requires any equity infusion at some stage. And maybe the last question, if I may also, you haven't mentioned some of the assets here, for instance, SG Trans or the real estate, maybe just a little update on what's going on those ones. Thank you very much.
On Segirja Group, there are two key investment priorities or directions. One is to increase the timber base, because basically the success of the business lies in low raw material cost and low production cost, and therefore owning a significant enough amount of timber base is important, and that's where we're looking to expand and do acquisitions. And the second set of investment priorities is around improving the efficiency of production, decreasing the production cost, even though today production cost at Segezha is the lowest among its competitors, Russian and European, of course. We think that we still have around 20 to 25% further cost reduction by replacing a number of technologies, in especially in pulp making. As far as MTS Bank, it does not require any immediate equity infusions. Whatever equity infusions have been done in the past are sufficient right now. MTS Bank has a plan which is currently following to become break-even in 2016. It's not the easiest situation and not the easiest asset at this point, given the overall kind of macroeconomic outlook of Russia and the situation in the banking sector. We're committed to making this bank work, especially given the retail angle and the MTS advantage that we have. So we believe that the worst is more or less in the past for MTS Bank, and we're looking for expanding our retail business, mostly commission-based, in conjunction with MTS. SG Trans and other businesses do not require any equity infusions. SG Trans is a business which is generating stable EBITDA numbers, and liquid natural gas transportation segment is quite stable and robust in terms of revenue and EBITDA performance. Oil and petrol tanks are less stable, but we're handling them well so far. We don't see any issue with this business.
Okay, and just one clarification, maybe on the Segezha side. Do you plan to kind of stay close to the European side, or you're also looking at the Far East as well, given again the amount of the timber there?
Well, we've looked at the Far East. So far, no decisions have been made on potential acquisitions. We're also looking at Siberia. There are a couple of investment ideas. Again, no decisions have been made. From my perspective, European part and further expansion in the European part should be a priority, because that's where we can kind of build the biggest and the most competitive cluster. On the M&A front, there is nothing that I can talk about in particular, and we are focusing right now on the production improvement investment program, which has been calculated and formulated and now is being executed.
Okay, thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Alexander Vengranovich from Autocrity Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. My question is on Detsky Mir. So basically, we've seen that the performance of the assets is stellar and quite promising. Can you please update us on the status of attracting the partners to Detsky Mir? So basically, we remember that last year you planned to attract Russian direct investment funds to sell a minority stake in the company, but it was delayed, and we expected something to happen this year. So can you update us what's happening right now? And in case it happens, do you think right now there is a good time to make the company public, and probably like next year you will seek an IPO for Detsky Mir? And also for the other assets, where do you think the next exits would follow? Which assets you think are ready at this stage for placements? Thank you.
Well, on Detsky Mir, we are in the very final stages of signing documents with a private investor. Of course, the deal is never done before it's done, so we have an intention, both parties in fact, but we'll wait until it gets closed. We do have an intention and are thinking about potential IPO of Detsky in spring, of 2016, of course, you know, markets permitting. Clearly, the asset is IPO ready, and I think, you know, if the markets are opened, we can look at a pretty successful IPO. As far as other assets are concerned, Siegesa clearly is, you know, coming to the point when it may be very marketable and able to attract partners in investment. Our agricultural business, we have a number of expressions of interest from both private equity funds and large investors from the Middle East and China that want to participate there, especially in new acquisitions. Mitsi, we have a few expressions of interest from strategic partners and private equity funds for, again, potential expansion, and we're looking at three regional acquisitions that may make sense for Mitsi. ESG Trans, again, you know, there are a few partners that are talking to us about, you know, potential synergies or acquisition. So there are a number of assets that are quite marketable, and the deals may take place. But of course, you know, it's very difficult to give any strict guidance on this.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Igor Goncharov from BCF Financial Group. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for the presentation. I have a couple of questions related to India. First of all, could you possibly update us on the situation with the restructuring on of the government's put option with regards to SSTL? And secondly, with regards to SSTL ERCOM merger, as far as I understand from the press release, the minority shareholders of SSTL will be given the right to convert their shares into the shares of ERCOM. After that, I understand SSTM would remain a shareholder of effectively a financial vehicle without no operational assets. So my question is, does Sistema plan to actually convert its ownership in SSTL into direct ownership in the merged operational company or in the ERCOM? And also, what is your understanding with regards to the government's plan on conversion of the SSTL stake to the ERCOM shares? Thank you.
Okay, in order of your questions. Number one, the put option, we're in the process of negotiating with the government to restructure the put option. We don't have this negotiation closed yet, so it's early to talk about, you know, how it will look like or whether we'll be able to do it or not. But I can tell you right now that what we're discussing is some sort of a prolongation of payments over the period of, you know, a few years, and we are talking about interest rates that will apply to that. So whatever restructuring may or may not take place, it is likely to be similar to us taking a loan somewhere in the bank and financing or refinancing this put option through the bank. So there is not going to be, you know, we're not talking about you know, significant reduction of the overall amount. So to manage the expectations. As far as ERCOM transaction is concerned, I mean, at this point, I think we should focus on getting all the relevant approvals from the Indian government, because the major risk of this transaction exactly isn't getting those approvals, because, you know, knowing how the government of India, kind of in general sense of it, behaved in the past, I think it's fair to assume that they would want some additional payments for frequency or for allowance to use frequencies for LTE. And, you know, if this payment is too high, then this transaction will not make sense. And that is kind of the key bridge that we will need to cross, and we haven't crossed it yet. We did sign the transaction, but it's not going to be finalized before we get all the relevant approvals. So let's wait until then. And the final question was about Russian government and the Russian government holding in SSTL. I think under any scenario, Russian government would look to exercise the put option. I don't see a scenario where Russian government would choose not to exercise the put option, but stay in the stake. At least that's the indication I have so far. Everything is possible, but I think the probability of Russian government staying and not exercising the put option is fairly low.
If I may add a couple of clarification on the conversion of the shares of Sistema and SSTL and other parties and into the shares of operational company Arcom. Due to the fact that SSTL has some assets which are not part of the deal and also certain liabilities which are not part of the deal, in case everything goes well and the deal closes, Sistema doesn't consider converting its shares into the Arcom, and SSTL will continue to exist as a holding company for non-telecom assets and the holder of the shares. And most likely the Russian government will also do so, but it's a question should be asked to them. And for minority shareholders, they have such right. We will see when it get there.
Thank you very much. Just a clarification question. What can you provide any maybe timeline indications on when we should expect clearance from the Indian government on the deal? Or maybe some information on the Indian government position on this?
I think we'll get a pretty good idea by sort of before the end of first quarter of 2016.
Okay, thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Dilya Ibrahimova from Citigroup UK. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. I had a couple of questions, please. First is on RTI. There are two pending transactions, which is envisioned that is due to be completed. Is it still by the end of the year? And I guess once it's done and Transtat being consolidated, do you expect improvement on the bottom line of RTI? For now, it remains loss-making. What your expectations are for 2016? And on MITI, just wanted to follow up on your comments. You mentioned that you expect MITI revenues to double, potentially to double by the end of 2018. Is that organic growth, or does that include potential acquisitions that you mentioned? Thank you.
Double
the revenues.
Okay. First of all, we're not planning to merge Kronstadt with RTI. So Kronstadt will remain a separate company, and there are synergies between Kronstadt and RTI, which will, we hope, improve performance of both assets, but it will not be one company. And RTI, the biggest issue that RTI is facing is the historic debt that has been accumulated on RTI and, you know, with current interest rates on the debt, and also devaluation of the ruble, because around $270 million of RTI debt is actually nominated in dollars. That puts a pressure on the net profitability of RTI, because it's profitable on the EBITDA basis. And this year, I think EBITDA of RTI is forecasted to be around 5.5 billion rubles. But then the debt, total debt of RTI, I think, is around 27 billion rubles. That's what is putting pressure on the profitability. And we are in discussions on what to do with the debt from, you know, potential kind of recapitalization and lowering down the debt this way to bringing a partner, including some of the potentially sort of industry players to participate in RTI and infuse some capital to again reduce the debt. So RTI performance as a business is actually a pretty good performance. It's an issue of debt that we need to resolve. And this debt is mostly historic, which has been accumulated in RTI when the merger with Citronix was done in 2010 or 11, I think. That was the time period. As far as MITSI's revenue growth is concerned, it does not, our forecasts do not account for mergers and acquisitions. They account for building and introducing new medical facilities, which we have in business plan for MITSI. Like, we have finished construction of a new 22,000 square meter hospital downtown Moscow, and it's supposed to open its doors in December upon receiving the license from the government. And this hospital alone, if it is successful, can increase revenue by about 30%. And, you know, we have another two or three facilities sort of in the near future to be constructed and opened. So, you know, we hope MITSI will be able to achieve growth, and we are taking very kind of serious steps now to improve the quality of the management team, bring new expertise, and increase operating efficiency after, you know, having lost the government contract last year, which constituted about 60% of, or even more, of EBITDA of 2014.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have no further questions. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining this call. Again, you can find the presentation on our website, and we hope and wish you a good day. Thank you. Take care.